So when it states in the beginning was the Word, what does this mean, in the beginning? Beginning of what?
The baseball game.
Does God have a beginning?
Well, speaking of games, I wonder how the game is doing.
Well, in the beginning, when they started to write the book.
In the beginning. Right. Probably.
The beginning of this story.
So, okay, so, well, it says in the beginning was the Word. What was there before the Word? So, does God have a beginning? If God has a beginning, he has to have an ending.
Cause and effect.
Which doesn't make him immortal or eternal.
I think he's talking about the beginning of manifestation, beginning of the outbreathing of the Manvantara.
Yeah, the Spirit never had a beginning, but everything with form had a beginning. And it's created by vibration, which is the vibrating Word, you could say.
Okay, that's enough out of you. No, that's the right answer. In fact, here we have in Raisin Initiations, Alice Bailey, or Dwal Kul, will shed a little light on this interesting question. It shall be pointed out that he who stands at the very center of the council chamber of Shambhala sounds forth all words, the Word, and he also utters the sound. This is apt to be forgotten. He it is who intones the AUM and all things came to be. He it is who voices the Word, the OM, and God incarnate in humanity appears on earth. He it is who utters the sound, and upon that outgoing breath holds all things in life. And in the rise and fall of his cadences, there is found the cyclic rhythm of the creative process. He it will be who will one day withdraw that sound, and centering the vibration within himself, will someday bring to a close this periodic manifestation and carry the sound to other localities in space, holding it in quiescence on the withdrawn breath until a later cycle of expression dawns. Then it will again be exhaled and sent forth to provide a new field of experience for the lives which, in cyclic rhythm, again seek to manifest. The entire story of incarnation is hidden in the understanding of the sound and its differentiation into the OM and the AUM. End quote. Here we see that by the power of sound, God evolves through projecting itself into and out of matter in ever-expanding rounds, cycles, periods of time, and universal expression. So the divine breath exhales out into creation. After a sufficient time, when everything is filled to measure of its creation, that breath is withdrawn, inhaled to a point of rest. Or what's the word of God's rest?
Pralaya.
And then he stays there for a while until... Very good.
Quite a system you got there, too.
I know. Thanks to Deborah. I asked her to set me up, and this is what she did. And
she did
darn,
set you up.
More than he knows.
Okay. Now, so God begins with this point. This is called the causal point. Causal, see? The point of causes. And so God gets born. He's been in Pralaya for a long period of time. And all of the natives are restless, and we're saying, come on, we're ready for a new experience. Send us on back out. And so what does God do?
Go outside and play.
He moves from quiescent. And all of a sudden there's a big bang. And out of that bang, everything begins to evolve or expand out in groups of seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, so God sends it out down in octaves of seven, creates a midway point, which we'll talk about, and then it goes down into its lowest point, down into its omega point, or call it an alpha point, or an omega. So God, and this is what Joe was saying this morning, a spirit creates itself down into this place here where it can go no further, and then the sound is taken over by the one who sends it down into the material worlds.
Is there an involution-evolution thing going on?
Yes, right. Involution-evolution. So we've got one triad pointing down, one triad pointing up. I'm going to talk a little bit more about involution and evolution. Okay. Now we're going to talk about involution and evolution, but first we have when the two triads connect, they link spirit and matter, forms the Star of David or the symbol of immortality. Okay, so essentially we're made up of light, intelligence, light waves, octaves of from ultraviolet to infrared, and then it goes down into sound, the sound waves of the lower septenary. And all things, all matter was created out of sound. It says, AUM, said the Mighty One, and sounded forth the word. The sevenfold waves of matter resolved themselves, and varied forms appeared. Each took its place, each in the sphere ordained. So this midway point that links heaven and earth, spirit and matter, has several names. What are a couple of them?
Soul.
Exactly. Soul.
Union.
Soul of union, yeah. Union of souls. That's what we have here, is a union of souls. What else is it called? The mediating principle that connects the kingdom of man with the kingdom of God.
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
There's a spirit up here. It's coming down. It's connected with matter.
Oh, okay.
So who is the mediating principle, mediating person?
Christ.
Christ. There you go.
I'm with you.
Also known in, as an individual, and the individual nature is your what?
The solar angel.
When spirit and matter come together, they create the soul.
Okay, you already wrote
you
that.
Have it up there.
Yeah, did you already say that?
Well,
okay, well, I'm going to say it again because it's so important. Okay, what was the other one? Consciousness. That's what I meant to say.
Did you say Christ already?
Yes,
I'll say that again. I'll tell you what consciousness
is. Chris.
Conscience.
What'd you say?
Conscienceness. That's how you spell consciousness.
Consciousness.
That's okay.
So, yeah, it's close enough.
Okay, we can read that.
All right. Okay, so we have this midway point. It's also called the Word. The Word is the mediating principle. Because remember, spirit can only go down so far, and then the word or Christ sounded, and that's what created the material worlds that we live in. So sound.
Sound is the midway point between the high and the low?
Yep. Sound. It's called sound. Now, here's a little something from a book I wrote. The light must penetrate the dark, and the dark must receive the light. Okay, this is actually... this is actually the dark here, just so you know, something like that. Just as when spirit and matter come together and produce the soul, or consciousness aspect, so does the joining of father and mother energies produce the son, or the human soul. The son then becomes the mediating principle which connects the father to the mother. It is the love of the Son which pulls the two together and fuses them more deeply into a bonded relationship with each other. Father, positive spirit, and mother, negative matter, unite to produce the Son of God, the eternal soul. Interestingly, when a man and a woman have a child, and the something happens to the child dies, what happens to the parents?
A hole in the heart.
80% of the time, hole in the heart, and what does that produce?
They get divorced.
Yeah. Because the son, the child, is what held the two together. It's gone, and the hole is so big they can't fix it. And statistically, it's like 80% of couples who have a child that is taken away for whatever reason will divorce.
80%, really?
Yeah.
It's very high. Yeah, it's very high because it's just it sends them down into this inner turbulence and grief, and they can't really help each other out of it because they're both suffering.
It's probably a higher incidence among those who only have one child versus many children. Mm-hmm.
Or if it's sudden. Like if it's a sudden death or some force like a kidnapping or some outside force hurting their child, it makes the divorce rate higher. But if it's like the child was ill, they knew it was coming.
It's in a male nature to kind of be protective toward the female, and if the female is grieving and she can't be relieved in any way, then the male probably figures that he's failing, and that's probably, I bet that's a big contributor to this.
He also might not be able to help her while he's hurting.
Well, he's supposed to be protecting her.
Right, but if he's hurting himself,
but he's hurting too. So they're both suffering, they're both feeling this grief. And
Curtis, that metaphor you just gave of the hole in the heart, that's you're applying that to what? I'm just trying to understand that analogy that you just gave is applying to spirit and matter?
No, it's applying to the loss of a child. The child is what links the child or the son.
Yeah, is what on that chart?
The son of God. This is what links the mother and the father. Spirit and matter
spirit
together.
Spirit and matter, that's it, soul. Mother. Would you say that a soul that keeps the body alive and the heat going and all that, once it departs the body, that's why the body disintegrates and it's cut off from its midway point?
Well, yeah, if you lose your body, it's definitely cut off until you come back and do it again and again.
Yeah, but in that analogy, then, if you use that as an analogy, then every child that dies must split up the parents.
No, it doesn't always.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. In the analogy of using a dying child to split up parents 80% of the time, losing your soul from your body 100% of the time kills you.
Yeah, it's pretty much gone. Yeah. You don't. Your soul doesn't die. It just goes back. It stays where it is until it's connected to your monad. So
it's not a perfect metaphor, but close.
Yeah. I had a neighbor who had two children. The first one died in a motorcycle wreck, and he survived the marriage. And then he had a second son who committed suicide, and that was the end of it. So he said, yeah, we survived the first one. He couldn't survive the second one. But the point is that you need the mediator is what links the two together. This is why Jesus Christ was called the Son of God or the Mediator when he demonstrated the permanent bonding of the two polarities, spirit and matter, and achieved physical immortality. And he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it back up, and I'll prove to you that the potential of humanity is to overcome death and to achieve physical immortality. This is why the power of Christ that is within you is responsible for resurrecting your whole being into a state of physical immortality. Christ within you means you are part of the body of Christ. Remember, spirit and element inseparably connected, you see the fullness of joy. The power of Christ is also the mediating principle that connects the kingdom of man with the kingdom of God. You can use the same triads there. And opens the door, the human door, to divine intercession. As members of the human kingdom prepare to ascend into the God kingdom, they begin to raise their thoughts and aspirations upward. Their vibratory rate quickens. As our collective energies are felt by those advanced souls in the God kingdom begins to reach down and meet those gathered from the human kingdom at the midway nexus point. So the kingdom of God is reaching down, the kingdom of man is reaching up, and that's how we create heaven on earth, is when the two link. Represented by the two triangles in the Star of David, the eye, or the matrix, opens, and those human souls who are vibrating in tune with higher celestial beings are released into a new spiritual dimension. They are no longer held prisoner to this planet and bound by the law of reincarnation, as they had previously been, but are now free to explore, experiment, and experience a greater measure of life with others in a higher turn of the evolutionary spiral. Okay. How does that sound?
Awesome. Fantastic.
Well, speaking of sound, here's a little more insight from DK, thank you, on the subject of sound. He says, first, let us repeat the truism that the worlds are the effect of sound. First the life, then matter, later the attraction of the matter to the life for the purposes of its manifestation and expression, and the orderly arrangement of that matter into the necessary forms. Sound forms the allying factor, the propelling impulse, forcing energy downward, and the attractive medium. Sound, in an occult and deeply metaphysical sense, stands for that which we term the relation between. So between spirit and matter, between heaven and earth. The relation between is creating intermediary, the linking third factor in the process of manifestation. So you have spirit, sound, and matter. Sound is an agent of the law of attraction and repulsion. It is used to build, maintain, and destroy. Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma, as indicated, you represented in the East. The primal single sound, AUM or OM, is the highest uttered word of power and knowledge. It is the very Brahman itself. At the sounding of the seventh subtone, crystallization occurred. That's back up there where we drew the line and it went, matter went down to its deepest form or place in its lowest state. Crystallization occurred, an absolute conformity to the law of approach. It resulted in the dense aspect of manifestation, the point of deepest experience. Okay, so matter was created. We descended into the lower aspects of matter, down all the way to the very bottom.
It's interesting. He uses the word deepest experience.
Yeah, he's going to say matter.
A lot of experience is up there, but this is the deepest. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what they say when, in these near-death experiences, they're told, you got to go back, and they say, I don't want to go back because it's really a lot nicer here. And they say, well, you have to because of the lessons that you have to learn. You can't learn them anywhere else.
Well, you can. You have to go to the deepest, furthest point down. So matter and intelligence involved or descended in consciousness and experience to its lowest point. So they went all the way down into the dense realms of matter, which is where we went to gain our deepest experience. So from going down to involution, what's the next step of the phase? What's the next phase?
Evolution.
We're going to go evolution. Okay, so we move from involution to evolution and begin our ascension process. And what do we encounter on the way up?
Ourselves.
What about ourselves do we discover? Because now we're waking up.
Resistance.
Our real self.
Okay. We are going to encounter conflict.
Resistance.
Opposition. Evil. Or what is technically called evil. Oh, interestingly, he says, it could be proved that the word spiritual covered every phase of living experience. Spiritual. So even as we're descending into the pits of hell, it's a spiritual experience. Can't move up without it. You cannot go higher than you've gone lower. So you have to go to the very bottom, to the nadir of experience in matter. And then, like the prodigal son who's experienced all of the carnal living that he could absorb until he couldn't handle anymore, and his and was saturated, then he begins to ascend and rise and return home out of the dream. And Om is the sound that liberates us. It takes us out of matter. So the AUM takes us into the material worlds, and now we're looking at the OM to bring us home.